Judge not, that ye be not judged. One of the most popular New Testament passages that is often quoted by individuals in the world is Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. Out of all of the New Testament passages in the Bible, this is one that a lot of people know about, but it's one of the most misunderstood verses in all of the New Testament. This morning, friends, on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to answer the question, is it wrong to judge others? A lot of people believe that it is, and they quote Matthew 7 and verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged. We're glad that you've joined us on the program. We appreciate you tuning in each and every Saturday morning for this period of Bible study, to take a portion of your morning on a Saturday morning to look at some spiritual things and Bible things is good for us. And I appreciate you supporting us on this program by your listening and learning and studying. And we would love to have you come visit us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. Come visit us at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee. Give us a call if you have a Bible question, or if you would like a Bible study, or if you need a ride to the church service, 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. We would love to have you come and be a part of our worship service. Based upon Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, many conclude that judging is not allowed. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 is often quoted when you're trying to point out the wrongs of another person, whether it's their religious beliefs in one of the various denominations around or someone's personal habits. You try to point out that someone should not have an abortion. They'll say, you're not supposed to judge. Someone should not be a homosexual or attempt to change their gender, which you can't do anyway. You can fake being another gender, but you can't actually change your biological makeup. But when you talk about that with somebody, they say, well, don't judge. And when somebody has a practice or a religious belief that doesn't match up with the Word of God, and you talk with them about that, a lot of times people will say, well, you shouldn't judge. And this verse is often quoted as defense of that. What's interesting about that is, when people say that, they're actually making a judgment. Why are you always condemning others, somebody says, while they're condemning you for condemning others? Sometimes people say, well, you shouldn't judge others, at the very moment that they're judging you, telling you that you shouldn't judge others. Sometimes people say, don't judge others, and that's a judgment. They're guilty of the very thing they're opposed to. Sometimes people say, you shouldn't bind your opinion on others while they're binding their opinion on you. Sometimes people say, well, it's wrong to argue while they're arguing with you about not arguing. And we could go on and on with that. People are often guilty of the very thing that they're opposed to. They're guilty of the very thing that they're condemning you of doing. And this idea of don't judge others falls into that category. But when we take the Word of God and we try to talk with others about their life and encourage them to change their life based upon the Word of God, not our own opinion, then Matthew 7 and verse 1 is often quoted. Sometimes people say, why are you always condemning others? The Bible says, judge not lest ye be judged. Sometimes people say, it's people like you that give the church a bad name. Or you have a right to your opinion, but keep it to yourself. Don't be judging others. And so we really do need to talk about this Bible verse and what it really means, and judgment in general and as a whole. You see, many believe that controversy, not just in the area of religion, but in personal lives, we should avoid controversy at all costs. Don't tell someone that they're wrong or that they need to change. And we live in the 21st century, it's very popular not to be controversial. Well, we're going to see in the lesson this morning that God wants us to take His Word and make judgments with it. It's interesting that those who argue this way don't even consistently apply their own rule. The same people that say, don't judge others, if they know about a person who's been a thief, or if they know about a person who has been stealing, they'll call him a thief. Well, they're making a judgment there. If they know someone who's cheating on their spouse, they'll call them an adulterer. Well, they're making a judgment there. My point is, there are some things in life that they will actually make judgments about. They just don't want you making judgments about things. So at the end of the day, everyone makes judgments about things. Right or wrong, good or bad. The question is that before us, the kind of judgment that we need to be making, that's what's important. We must learn the truth about judging others. And what does the New Testament say? Let the Bible speak. That's what this program is all about. We want to let God's Word speak. Let the verses speak for themselves. So let's test this idea of don't judge others. Let's test that with the Word of God. Of course, when we make a judgment, we're talking about distinguishing one thing from another. We're trying to distinguish right from wrong, good from evil. So when we make a judgment, we're trying to separate or make a distinction between one thing and another. And is it right to do that, number one? And number two, how do we go about doing that? What's the standard by which we do that? Well, in the New Testament, there are two kinds of judgment. There's unrighteous judgment, and it shows up in different forms. And there is righteous judgment, and it shows up in different forms. And when Jesus says, judge not, you have to read the rest of the verses that follow it. He's talking about a particular kind of judgment that is not to be engaged in. He's not saying all kinds of judgment should stop. He's not saying never judge anyone at all at any time over anything. That's not what he's saying. When he says judge not, he has a certain kind of judgment that is not to be engaged in. Other kinds of judgment are to be engaged in. It's a classic example of reading a verse out of its context or taking a verse out of its context. You read one verse, but you don't read what's above it or what's below it. And in this case, what's below it explains the kind of judgment that Jesus does not want us to engage in, namely, hypocritical judgment. When you consider the context of this passage, Jesus is forbidding hypocritical judgment. Judgment that is inconsistent. Judgment that judges someone else by one standard, but judges himself by a different standard. That's the kind of judgment that Jesus is forbidding. It's the spirit that sees the faults of others, but overlooks the faults of self. In other words, it's hypocritical to apply to others judgments that we ourselves will not accept or apply to ourselves. Read the rest of the statement. So in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? a small piece of wood versus a big piece of wood. You'll see a small thing in somebody else, but you're ignoring the big problem in your own life. That's hypocritical. That's the kind of judgment that Jesus is saying, do not engage in. Verse 4, how will you say to thy brother, let me cast out the mote out of your eye, and lo, the beam is in your own eye? Thou hypocrite. Verse 5, underscore that in your Bible. That's the kind of judgment, verse 1, that Jesus is forbidding. Hypocritical judgment. Cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Consider, verse 5, the last part. Jesus is actually saying that when you get the beam out of your own eye, then you'll see clearly to get the mote out of your brother's eye. And when you do that, that's going to require some judging. You see, there is a proper way to judge others only after you yourself have gotten your life right. And you could even consider the following verses. Verse 6, for example, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest haply they trample them under their feet and turn and rend you. He's talking about giving that which is holy to people who don't want it, trying to force good and righteous things from God's word on people who don't want it. You're wasting your time. Well, that's going to require a judgment in order to do that. Look at verses 15 and 16 where he talks about being aware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, where you're going to have to make some judgments whether someone is teaching truth or error. So even when you read the rest of the chapter, you see that Jesus is requiring us to make judgments. So in verses 1 through 5, he's talking about a certain kind of judgment that we're not to engage in. Not all judgment, period. Let's not take a verse out of its context. Jesus, verse 5, you hypocrite. He's forbidding hypocritical judgment. And there's actually other examples of this in the New Testament. Romans 2, James 4, that we won't take time to look at this morning. We need to move on. So, there are two kinds of judgment in the New Testament, unrighteous judgment and righteous judgment. When it comes to unrighteous judgment, one kind would be hypocritical judgment. Another kind of judgment would be ignorant judgment. We're trying to make a judgment, but it's not based upon truth and facts. It's based upon what we don't know. Look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Again, Jesus said unto them, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said, you bear witness of thyself, thy witness is not true. Jesus answered and said, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but you know not whence I come or whither I go. You judge after the flesh, I judge no man. Yea, if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. Yea, in your law it is written that the witness of two men is true. I am he that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Notice that Jesus said, for I know whence I come and whither I go, but you know not whence I come or whither I go. They were making judgments about Jesus that they didn't know things about him. Ignorant judgment. A third kind of unrighteous judgment is unkind judgment, where you don't care about the feelings of others, the opinions of others, the life of somebody else. Paul brings up in Romans chapter 14 with regard to matters of judgment or opinion. He says to be very careful not to judge other people. Verse 3, let not him that eateth set at naught him that eateth not, and let not him that eateth not judge him that eats, for God has received him. Who art thou that judgest the servant of another? He brings it up again, verses 10 through 13, verses 22 and 23, judging others. This is in the realm of opinion. Don't judge them and tell them that they shouldn't do it or should do it based in the realm of opinion. And you're not being kind toward them. A fourth kind of unrighteous judgment is unmerciful judgment. In James chapter 2 and verse 13, we need to be merciful toward others around us. We need to look at the situation, and if somebody is trying to make a change and has that humble, repentant attitude and heart, we need to work with them. We don't need to be hardened and unmerciful. But in James chapter 2 and verse 13, for judgment is without mercy to him that hath showed no mercy. Mercy glorieth against judgment. Him that showed no mercy. So be a merciful person, and we will receive mercy in the judgment day. So, unrighteous kinds of judgment would be hypocritical judgment, ignorant judgment, unkind judgment in matters of opinion, and unmerciful judgment. These are the kinds of things that we need to stay away from in our life. And so when Jesus says, judge not, lest you be judged, he's talking about that first kind, hypocritical judgment, that does not need to be in our life. But other kinds of judgment do need to be in our life, and that's what I want to turn our attention to now. There is righteous judgment. And just like we looked at four examples of unrighteous judgment, hypocritical, ignorant, unkind, and unmerciful, I'm going to look at four kinds of righteous judgment. First of all, there's divine judgment. There's judgment that comes from God in His Word. God judges us through His Word. Judgment is tied to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the inspired Word of God. What has been recorded in Scripture. The books are going to be open, Revelation 20, 12 and 13. God's Word, God's revealed Word, is going to be opened in the judgment day, and we're going to stand before and be judged out of the things that are written in the book. And in the books, the words that Jesus spake, John 12, 48, the same will judge us in the last day. The Holy Spirit judges through His Word, John 16, 7 through 11. Jesus judges us through His Word, John 12, 48. God speaks to us today through Jesus Christ, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And what He has said, recorded in Scripture, will be our judge in the last day. So there is a divine judgment that is coming. There's another kind of judgment that is right now, and that is the words of the apostles. The words of the apostles written in Scripture judge us right now. When Paul was dealing with the matter of sexual immorality in the church at Corinth, he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 3, "For I verily, being absent in body, but present in spirit, have already, as though I were present, judged him that hath so wrought this thing." And then he goes on to write that this immoral, sexually immoral brother is to be withdrawn from in the local church. Well, what gave Paul the right to write about that and tell them to do that? Verse 9, "I wrote unto you in my epistle to have no company with fornicators. What gives Paul the right to make that judgment on this man and to make them withdraw their fellowship from him? They're going to have to make a judgment about him. He's an apostle of Christ. So apostolic authority judges members of the church as the apostles wrote their words. That's how they were sitting on 12 thrones judging God's people, Matthew 19:28, through their word. So apostolic judgment is a second kind of judgment. A third kind of judgment would be what we would call legal or civil authority judgment. We have a court system here in Montgomery County. We have courts. We have judges. And they're making judgments all day long based upon laws of the land. And Jesus recognized the court judges. We find in Matthew 5 and verse 25 in the Sermon on the Mount, agree with thine adversary quickly while you are with him in the way, lest haply the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto you that thou shalt not by any means come out from there till you have paid the last farthing. Jesus recognized civil courts and prison that can follow after going through civil courts and judgments. So those kind of people are engaged in judgment all day long, judges. My point is, we need to be very careful about taking Matthew 7:1 out of its context and applying it to all kinds of judgment. Jesus is applying it to one kind, hypocritical judgment. There will be divine judgment in the judgment day. There is apostolic judgment going on right now on every page of the New Testament, where the apostles have recorded their words telling us how to live and how not to live, what to do and what not to do. Those are judgments that are made by the apostles. And then there is legal and civil authority judgment. And God gives civil government a right to exist to punish the evildoer. Romans 13:1 and following. And they take law, man-made law. Some of man-made law is actually built straight on the law that comes out of Scripture, what we call Judeo-Christian principles. Judeo, principles of the Old Testament. Christian, principles of the New Testament. Some of our case law is built straight on law that comes out of the Bible. And they take that civil law and they make judgments in our court systems. And we're glad that they do, because it's meant to keep the lawbreaker off the street. And then last of all, and this is where it hits home with us, is that as individual Christians, we are to be making judgments with the Word of God, not our opinions or what we think or what we feel. We are to make judgments with the Word of God involving ourselves and how other people are to live. Look at back at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul is talking about the fornicating brother. He goes on to say that you're not to have fellowship with him in the church. He's not talking about fornicators out in the world, but in the church who won't repent. You're to withdraw fellowship. You're to put him away, verse 13. But look at verse 12. For what have I to do with judging them that are without? Do not you judge them that are within? It's a rhetorical question. They are supposed to make judgments concerning the behavior of those that are within the local congregation. They are to make a judgment. And so Christians take the Word of God and they make judgments with that. So let's not take Matthew 7:1 out of its context. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 15, if you flip over a few chapters, "Wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge what I say." We're supposed to make judgments. Chapter 11 and verse 13, "Judge ye in yourselves if it is seemly that a woman pray unto God unveiled," talking about a particular custom at Corinth at that time. But make a judgment, Paul says. We are to make judgments with regard to the Lord's Supper. We are to make judgments when we talk with others about the Word of God and about their conduct. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, For the love of Christ constrains us, because we thus judge that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they should live no longer unto themselves, but unto him for whom their sakes he died and rose again. We thus judge. We have to make discernments and decisions about things in life, and we use the Word of God to do that. So, keep in mind that there is a right and a wrong kind of judgment. Do you know that on one occasion, Jesus actually chided some Jews because they would not judge when they were supposed to, in Luke 12, 54 through 57. They knew how to make judgments about the weather, but they wouldn't make the right judgment about who he was. Luke chapter 12 and verse 54. He talks about how that they can judge the weather and so forth. "You hypocrites, know you not that how to interpret the face of the earth and the heaven? But how is it that you know not how to interpret this time? And why even of yourselves judge you not what is right?" He expected them to make the right kind of judgment about him, and they wouldn't do it. There is such a thing as righteous judgment. Jesus said, "Do not judge according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." John 7, verse 24. Righteous judgment has the right standard, God's word, not opinion, and the right motive, not self-serving, but looking out for the interest of others, the right approach, being kind, and hopefully the right reception of being humble. Let's avoid the extreme of hypocritical judgment. Let's avoid the extreme of no judgment at all, but judge those things that are pleasing to God by using God's word. And when we do that, we will be pleasing to God, and we will be able to face his judgment in the judgment day and be righteous before him. Thank you for joining us this morning on the program, and we hope that you'll have a good day.